In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Hey, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. And the Jewish people said, what must we be doing to do the works of God? Plural. And Jesus said, this is the work of God, to believe in the one whom the Father sent. The work of God, the Opus Dei, is to believe in Jesus, to give our life to Jesus. Not only to say, I believe for every drop of rain, that, not that. Believe means to completely surrender to Jesus. This is the work of God. And you know, I'm going to tell you, you don't see it very much in the churches, because you see, we are so, so formed by the world rather than by the gospel. The work of God is to believe in Jesus and to lay our lives down for Jesus. We remember the apostles being persecuted, Peter and John, and they came back and they got all the Christians together again and they said, Father, look at the threats that they've raged upon us and do something, Father, with signs and wonders and miracles in the name of your servant Jesus Christ. In the place where they were was shaken, they were persecuted, and they were going to continue to proclaim the gospel. They were going to continue to proclaim, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord. I tell you, it's always, always challenging to continue to walk by faith. It's challenging, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm going to tell you how much faith you have by how you give your time, your treasure, your talent. What about the person that's home and can't do anything? Well, I'm going to tell you, they can pray, and they can pray for me. You know, I have a woman named Therese up in the North Shore, and she is a saint, and God knows how much she prays and how much she loves God and that she lives by faith. Yep, Therese, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. Yes, I am, because I know that you live by faith and you walk with Jesus every single day. I'm talking about this woman because she just comes to my mind. The work of God is to believe in Jesus and to surrender our life to Jesus, to surrender our life to Jesus. And faith moves mountains. Faith moves mountains. When I believe, I can always say, because of faith, all those who trust Jesus, everything is going to work out for the good, because that's the reality. No, nothing will turn out to the bad, but everything will turn out for the good. Now, the Jewish people are very upset now because they are trying to size up Jesus. He's just multiplied fish and bread, and he's just did that for the people, and they all ate, and there were baskets full that they returned to Jesus. He said, gather up the fragments. Now, the Jewish people say this in verse 31, chapter 6 of John. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. These people are not believers, you see. They have just filled their stomachs. They have seen the great miracle that the little boy brought to Jesus, a couple of fish and a couple of loaves. Oh, yes, now they're saying, you know, Moses gave us bread from heaven. Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Oh, my. My Father gives you the true bread. What is this true bread that comes down from heaven? For the bread of God is he who has come down from heaven and gives life unto the world. So this true bread comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. What's he talking about? Then said they unto him, Lord, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He used the word I am, Jehovah, Yahweh, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall not thirst. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall not thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me, and you don't believe. They've seen the miracle. They've seen the sign. Jesus said, you ate bread, but you don't believe the sign. The sign always points to me. I am the one that did this by God's power. I am the elected one. I am the Messiah. I am the Lord. I have come down from heaven, but you don't believe in me. What more do you need? What other miracle do you need? You know what I'm saying? You know, once the Lord works the miracle, then you've got to say, oh, hallelujah, I belong to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. When it happened in my life, the only thing I experienced, the only thing, was the living waters flowing through my heart. Oh, yes. And then from then on, I experienced that for 2 weeks. And then it was as dry as the desert. And I'm telling you, to believe in Jesus is what it's all about. To give our life to Jesus. You have seen me, but you do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. Do you go to Jesus? If you go to Jesus, I'm telling you, the Father gave you to Jesus. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. The Father draws you to Jesus if you go to Jesus. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will in no way reject. Anyone that turns to Jesus shall never be rejected. Shall never be rejected. Why? 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 For I came down from heaven, hallelujah, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I came down from heaven. Then all these people are really not believers, okay? That he said he came down from heaven. Who is this? Is this not Joseph's son? Is this not Mary's son? He came down from heaven. Hallelujah. I tell you, he came down from heaven. He is the living bread. He is the Lord. Oh, once the miracle happened, what are you going to do with the miracle? You going to ask for another miracle? Are you going to place your trust in Jesus? You see what I'm saying? Then it says, for I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the Father's will. You want to know the Father's will? That which hath sent me, that all he hath given me, I should not lose anything, but should raise it up on the last day. So the Father's will is that Jesus will not lose one that the Father gave him. He holds you in the grasp of his loving hand, that not one will be wasted, not one will go astray, at least not because of Jesus, but because of the person. If anyone goes astray that's been given to Jesus, it's not because Jesus doesn't clutch you, it's because you decided to jump out of his hand. And if you've decided that, it's time to jump back in. Because he said, no one who comes to me will I ever reject. And you say, but you know what? I once knew the truth and I fled. No one who comes to me will I ever reject. That's today. That's today. Don't think about what you did yesterday. Don't think about what you did in the last 10 years. No one who comes to me shall I ever reject. Not for the first time, but for the 1,000th time. Oh, run back to Jesus, because your life is hid in Christ. Run back to Jesus, because he is the Lord. Run back to Jesus, because he is the one that the Father sent from heaven. This is my Father's will, who sent me, that all who he has given me, I would lose nothing, but I should raise it up on the last day. Raise it up on the last day. He's talking about the second coming, that I would raise it up on the last day. Do you know, right now, in heaven, they're having a great time. in heaven, oh, they are worth, the angels and the saints and the flowers in heaven are more beautiful than you'd ever imagine. They all praise God. And the music must be heavenly, I tell you, in heaven right now. No one wants to come back, I tell you. In heaven, they all want to stay because there's nothing like it. There's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more rejection, no more anything but love, but hope, but joy, I tell you, in heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. They still haven't got it all because Jesus has not returned again. When everything will be put under his feet and all things would then be put under the Father's feet. Let me tell you, in heaven, they're having the greatest time, but there's more in store even in heaven. Even in heaven, there's more in store because Jesus has not completed his mission. He has gone back to the Father. He has sent the Holy Spirit, but then he's going to raise our mortal bodies to be glorified in him. Oh, yes, you might say, how is he going to do that? What if they sprinkled ashes in the ocean? I don't know how. I just know that. I know that Jesus knows how to do those things because he is God. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you something. I have seen a statue of the Madonna weep tears, tears that are salty, you know. And I saw the man who did the papers, you know, he did newspaper writing. He was whatever you call the person in the newspaper that writes. Anyway, he wrote in the newspaper, and he broke the bottom of the statue of the Blessed Mother that was weeping. He wanted to see if there were any waterworks in there. And you know what? He repented because this Blessed Mother was weeping tears and tears of salt. I tell you, salt water. And I tell you, if God can make a Madonna that has no life weep, God can raise people from the dead. You know, if he can do this little thing, he can do the greater thing. If he can do the greater thing, he can do it all because Jesus promised it. Jesus said it. I'm not going to lose one that the Father gave me. I have you in the palm of my hand. If you've jumped out of that palm, it's time to jump back in because he will not reject you. Oh, the world might reject you. The church might reject you, but Jesus will not reject you. You know, I've always tried. I've not always been successful, but I've always tried. When people mess me up, you know, when people hurt me, and they come back and they say they're sorry, I always have tried to just forgive them and let them come back. And I've done that because, you know, the Lord does it to me. He is the Lord of the second chance, the Lord of the third chance, the Lord of the fourth chance, and so on and so forth. And if that's what people do, I'm going to tell you, that's what we need to do. I never forget when I was a first-year theologian, and I was teaching CCD, confirmation class. And, you know, the man that was over me, the priest that was over me, I had written a review of him, and it wasn't very positive. And he wrote a review of me that was so negative that they would throw me out of the seminary. And the one that was involved, that was the head of the apostolic work, said, you better have him change this because you know what? They're going to throw you out. So I went to him personally, and I said to him, Father, this is not who I am. And the priest started to cry. I said, I'm sorry that I hurt you. And we became friends. He was weeping because he knew what he wrote would get me out. And we became friends. I changed the writing to something that was true, something that was positive. I didn't bring about the negative. He had already heard that. And we became friends. I'm always into the people that have done these things to me, that if they say they're sorry, you know what? They're sorry. And God is the God of the second chance. God is the God of the third chance. God is the God of the fourth chance. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son Everyone who sees Jesus and believes in Jesus may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Everlasting life comes to believe in Jesus. It comes by believing in Jesus Christ. Everlasting life. It's by grace we are saved, and not of works, lest any man boast. As I said to the people this Sunday, when God calls me home, I'm not going to tell him I've been on the radio for 29 years and I've preached my heart out, whether I felt it or didn't feel it. I'm going to say to the Lord, have mercy on me, O Lord, and have mercy on this ambulance. And if there's anyone in the ambulance that just drove by me, have mercy on them too, Lord. I'm not going to say, Lord, I've done this and done that and the other thing. Oh, no. I'm going to say, mercy, Lord. I need your mercy because I know I am a sinner saved by grace. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son in faith and believes on him and has faith in him, who gives their life to him, may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Everlasting life is also eternal life. When did eternal life start in me? At baptism, when I was 40 days old. But then there came a choice that I had to make, that whether I wanted to follow Jesus and give my life to Jesus at a certain time in my life. I was 20 or 21, and I completely surrendered my life to Jesus. And hopefully I have to keep on doing that every single day. And sometimes it is difficult, boys and girls. Sometimes it's very difficult, but you know what? Jesus is faithful, and he promises that no one who comes to me will be rejected. And he promises that if I believe in him, if I surrender to him, I have eternal life. Eternal life already dwells within the believer. But there's much more in store on the last day when we get our resurrection bodies. I don't think there's going to be anyone bald in heaven. I don't think that. I don't think there's going to be anyone old in heaven either. We're going to be all young, and we're going to be glorified. And oh, if we want to eat, we can eat. If we want to drink, we can drink. If we just want to love God, we can just love God. Oh, I have no real idea of the greatness of heaven. But it is greater than I could ever imagine. It is bigger than I could ever imagine. It is holier than I could ever imagine. Because the Lord said to me, I said, Lord, you know, all these people take trips to heaven and they talk about how beautiful it is. And I've prayed over people that had this experience. I said, what about me? And he said, if you get there, you wouldn't want to come back. If you get there, you wouldn't want to come back. That's not my will for you right now. He didn't say, that's not my will, but I knew what he was saying. If you get there, you'd say, forget it. Just forget it. This is all I want. This is all I need. I don't want to go back to that place called the world when people are after you, when people want to destroy you, when people want to hurt you. Oh, I'm not into it. He said, you know, you wouldn't want to come back. And I knew exactly what he meant. I wouldn't want to come back. Once I got there, I'd say, you know what? Lord, don't send me back. Don't send me back. One person said to me, Father Tom, Donna. She says, if I die in your presence, don't you dare raise me from the dead. Don't you dare raise me from the dead. And she said it vehemently. She said, I'm finished when I go. I do not want to come back. I said at my father's funeral, even though we prayed for him till the last moment, we prayed that God would heal him. The last moment we prayed and prayed and prayed. But once my father crossed the Jordan River, hallelujah, he would not want to come back, because he would go to God and God would love him with the love that he needed. Even if he went to purgatory, it's the love of God in purgatory that gets us free from our sins, those things that we would not want to let go of. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you that once you're there, you're there. You don't want to come back. I remember my friend Keith, he went there. Now he is there, but he went there and he wasn't even in heaven. He was at the gates of heaven. And he said, I don't want to go back. Please, I want this and I want more. And his uncle and his father said, you have work to do. you have work to do, you've got to go back. And they told him what the work was. And when he came back, he forgot the work. I told the story before, but it's such a beautiful story. It was the Franciscan Center in Brighton where these children have cancer and have all these terrible diseases. And he went to anoint them with Mary, a friend of his, and she was a friend of mine. And they were going to anoint with oil these little boys and girls that was deathly sick. But he started to weep, and the Lord said, use your tears to anoint them. And he took his tear and started anointing people. They start popping out of the bed. They start popping out of the bed, one, two, three. As a matter of fact, somebody got on the Pat Robertson show and told the story that he was an invalid, and this man came and anointed him. He didn't know it was his tears, and he was immediately healed. It's just amazing. That's amazing. But let me tell you, as good as it is to get completely healed, how much more is it to be in the presence of God? And we are in the presence of God right now by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, we're in the presence of God. Let's see what the Jewish people say. The Jews then murmured at Jesus because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They murmured like the people in the desert, the Jewish people in the desert murmured against Moses. I don't know if you watched the Bible yesterday. I watched the last half hour of it, and the Jewish people, when they reached the Red Sea, I would have been one of them too if I was there, started to talk to Moses. Why did you get us out of Egypt? We can hear the chariots coming. Well, you know, we had three squares a day. They were murmuring in the desert. If I were there, I'd be a murmurer too. You know, it doesn't only happen to Jewish people. I know how to murmur. And they were murmuring against Jesus because he said he was the bread of life that had come down from heaven. And then they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I came down from heaven? It doesn't make any sense. We know him. He lives in Nazareth. We can even point to the place where Joseph and Mary live. We can point to the place where Joseph lives with him. How can he say, I came down from heaven? That's so foolish. That's so foolish. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, do not murmur among yourselves. Do not murmur among yourselves. You want to know what cuts the power of God? When we start murmuring, murmuring, murmuring. And you know what? It cuts down the power of God when we start murmuring. You know, there's going to be persecution, and the Lord's trying to teach me, you know, when you have persecution, click your heels and say, thank you, Lord. It's very difficult. I'm going to tell you, it's very difficult. I'm not going to even tell you what I've been going through recently, but it's very difficult not to murmur. You know, you've got to get it out, though, because you can't just get it out. You can't just swallow it, because if you swallow it, it'll come back as arthritis, or it'll come back 3 years from today. You've got to go through it. You've got to feel it. You've got to be angry, and then you've got to let it go. You've got to let it, whatever it is, you know. Someone's messed you up. Someone you've given money to, you know, and they haven't paid back. You know what? You've got to finally let it go. You've got to, listen, I said yesterday, you know, I feel like an ATM machine. That's what I feel like sometimes, an ATM machine. There's people come to the door and they need something. And, you know, I open my wallet and, you know, it just happens that way. And you know what? The Lord says, well, if you feel like an ATM machine, whose money does it belong to? Is it your money? Don't you say everything you have belongs to God? Yeah. Then shut up. Stop murmuring. Stop murmuring. Okay, stop murmuring. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, do not murmur among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him. Oh, yes. If you have gone to Jesus, the Father has drawn you there. And it's as simple as that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks that you have drawn us to Jesus. We give you thanks that we are not our own, but that we belong to Jesus. We give you thanks that we live by faith and not by sight. We give you thanks that the blood of Jesus has covered all of our sins. We give you thanks, Lord, that even the persecutions which we go through are going to work together for the good to those who love you. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for Jesus. Papa, Papa, I say unto you, vindicate me. Vindicate me, Lord. Vindicate me because you're God. Vindicate me in the sight of the angels. And vindicate every single person who've been hurt or been destroyed or their reputation has gone in the mud. Vindicate them, Lord, because they believe in you. And we ask this in faith in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, yes. And no one who comes to me will I ever reject. I love that scripture. So no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it, you will not be rejected because he has shed his precious blood for you and he is in love with you. That's real. That's real. Everything else fades away in the light of that reality. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time. I just said on WEZE, I've been on 28 years. Really, it's 29 years. I counted them again with my fingers, and it's 29 years. And on WROL, it's 28 years. And I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.